Yeah, do you want to come up here real quick? I'd like to sing one song before we get into the word. And then the communion. It's the key of C. Go ahead and tune it. Go ahead and tune it. Tune it up. You're out of tune. Tune it up. That's fine. Thank you, Lord. Just worship Him, children. That's why we came here tonight. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Lord Jesus, how we love you. Appreciate all you do for us, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How we love you tonight, Lord. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. And I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day He's come. One day He's come. Glory to God. To live with Him eternally, won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt, one more time. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Glory to God. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, if you appreciate it tonight, give the Lord a hand clap. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise His holy name. Praise His name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't, that's all right. But Romans chapter 12, just for a little message before we have communion tonight, and then foot washing following. Romans chapter 12, just verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like to preach a little message here. Let me say it like this. Yearly resolution? No. Daily crucifixion. Yearly resolution? No. No. Daily crucifixion. Amen. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads before you, and Lord, your presence just all around us and through us. We're so grateful, Lord, to serve the living God, not one that's dead and buried, but Lord, you raised again, you're alive forevermore. You sent the Holy Ghost upon us, Lord, and we can have that assurance that our God is with us all the way to the end of this world. And as we come to this table, this little tabernacle, Lord, to feast on the supper you told us and to wash one another's feet as you commanded us. Father, we pray now you'll take the sincerity of our hearts, Lord, and may it be acceptable to you, Lord. May it be pleasing to you as we worship you through all these things. As we take this little text now, we pray that you'll speak it right to each one of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is, you know, the New Year's coming around just right here tonight in a few hours. And we know that all across the nation, everybody's going to say, well, this is the day, this is my year. And I'm sure if you're on social media at all or whatever, somebody's put something about like 2023, man, that's the one where we're going to go get her done. We're going to do this. And you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a month or not even, probably a week or two. And you'll be right back to the same old all over again. It's because it doesn't work that way, brother, sister. That's not how the promises of God work. Brother Branham preached one time, if God be with us, then where's his mighty miracles? 61. It says, not for New Year's resolution, because we don't make them. Don't do no good. You break them. I see my daddy throw the plug of tobacco away every New Year's night to watch where he throwed it so he could go get it the next day. See? And that's about the way it goes. Let's not make resolutions. Let's ask for mercy and grace. Ask for God's mercy. Because when it comes to time, when to do what's right and to say, Lord, you know, I struggle with this or I struggle with that and I want to do what's right. Brother, if you're trying to do it without God's grace and mercy, you're never going to get there. You can't do it. You can't resolute your way. You can't, because your very foundation of what you're trying to do is you doing it. It's your own self-will. And as long as it's your own self-will, that ain't going to get very far. We've all tried to do what's right and it just don't get nowhere. It's got to be God's will for you to prosper. That's right. Even when you being coming to the Lord, it's not by your will or the will of the flesh or the will of whatever. It has to be that the will of God is what's called me. Sure. That it wasn't me. He called me. That's why I came. And once you see that, then all of a sudden everything just comes together. It takes all the stress off of it right there and then. The Bible tells us in Romans 9:16, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Zechariah 4:6-7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof. With shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And I believe that's the same thing the Lord is looking for tonight, for us to be believers in his grace and mercy, that's how we're going to get, that's how we started our walk with the Lord, that's how we're going to end it. And I was just thinking of that even in prayer today, that, you know, the Lord started dealing with me about 16, 17 years old. So I've been in this time of my life with the Lord and dealing with the Lord and things almost longer than I was before that. And it sometimes feels like, man, has it really been that long? You know, it doesn't feel like that so much, but it has been. But I want to say this, that it is true. You can't just will this. It doesn't work that way. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to run this way. No, that's you making another resolution for you to break next week. It's got to be, Lord, by your Spirit. How did you get it? It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't earn that. He gives it to you just for believing and accepting what he's already done. That's why we come to the communion table. We don't come like a Catholic would. If you actually look at their teaching, they're coming to actually eat the body of Jesus and to actually drink his blood, that they can fulfill what he said, that now they'll have life in them. That isn't what it is at all to us, because they're just, I mean, it doesn't really make sense right where it started, because Jesus is giving them bread and he's right there. You know, if he wanted to give him his flesh, he could have done that, but he didn't. It was a symbol of his flesh and blood, which we know he's the Word of God. Amen. That's what we live by. And we come to partake of it to say we already believe it's done, that he did this for us. He's not even doing it for us. He's already done it. So it's not of him that will or runneth. Who made Jesus go to the cross? Nobody. Who was able to go up there with them? No one. And before you think, well, I would have done it, them disciples walked with him faithful for 3 years, and the second they cat to a hard tribal, they see ya. And why did they do it? Because God saw it before it happened and already prophesied that I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And brother, sister, it's the same with us. You try to go do this without the shepherd, you're just done for. That's right. Stay with the shepherd. Stay with the sheep of God. You know, don't run out with those things. Don't try to do it the world's way. It won't work. I'm going to tell you that right now. When you see your friends and different ones and even Christians alike, you know, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do it. It will not work. It has to be the revealed will of God to you. If God is calling you to a deeper walk, it's still got to be that. Until that, you're just, I don't, it's like a donkey with a carrot stuck on his head. He can sit there and see it. He knows it's right there, but he ain't got no ability to get over there because, you know, he don't got hands like you and I do. He's got to sit there and walk with him. And you're doing the same thing. What do you need? You need the master to come and take it off your head and feed it to you. Sure, Lord Jesus, Jesus rode on a donkey in there, Jerusalem. Lord, that's all right with me. I'll be a donkey as long as I'm yours. Amen. God spoke through a donkey. That's more than a lot of Christians can say. Sure. But look, Christians, I hope you already got that. Yearly resolutions, I'll bring on monthly resolutions, weekly resolutions. Get rid of that whole concept out of your Christian walk. It's not going to work. Can we all say we've already exhausted that thing long enough? Lord, we're going to get her. No, you're not. It's His mercy, His grace. Lord, when you get to that place of, Lord, I'm trusting You, I'm believing You, help me walk closer to You. And that real motive of, I love You, Lord, I want this, not just, sometimes we want to be more spiritual to feel good about ourselves, and then we wonder why it don't work. Well, you're trying to stuff up the very pride God's trying to beat out of you. Amen. Look, we need Him. We need the Lord. Now, if you be a real Christian, it's just my note way of doing things. I forgot, I copy and pasted something. I forgot to do what I wanted to do. But now I'm going to have to say, Lord, what was I going to say there? Well, I guess it don't matter too much, but if you want to read a few scriptures with me, I'll go. You got to be quick, but Galatians chapter 2, and then Galatians 5, and then 1 Corinthians 15, I'll just read that one. But Galatians chapter 2, and I even alluded to some of this last service, and I'm being careful to not preach tomorrow today right now. That's the thing about studying for two in a row right there. You can start putting them together real quick. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this is Paul now. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm not being crucified. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead in this world, but I'm already alive in Him. Can you say amen to that? That's what we should be as Christians today. Not trying to claw our way into it, but say, by grace, I have accepted that. I have been crucified with Christ. If He died on that cross, then I was just as dead as Him. And if He raised the third day, then I've raised just the same as He has. Not by anything. Did you catch that? It's not just even faith in Him. It's the faith of Him, which means that faith has now been deposited inside of you. When did He doubt the Word? Never. So if that's been put in you, when should you doubt the Word? Never. Absolutely. It's not a resolution. He made that choice. Amen. Now, if I can just stay dead, I'll be doing okay. That's the thing, is we keep getting back alive and we need to stay dead. We need to stay crucified. Galatians 5, and I'll just read the fruit of the Spirit, sir. It's 22, but I really want to get to the end there. And again, these whole chapters, if you got time tonight, it'll do you good. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Amen. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Did you catch that phrasing there? Your life is because of the Holy Ghost. That's right. But don't just let that be something deep down here buried so far you can't see it. Walk in that.
Let it be your daily practice. And not even, like I said, not of him that wilt and runneth and sprinting and trying real hard. Just walk in it. Lord, everything I do, Lord, you give me the Spirit. You said you'd always be with me. Let me yield to you, Lord. Go ahead. Walk through me. Work through me here. You know, help me raise my children. Help me love my brother and my sister. Help me do what I'm supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God. And let when this thing, and like I said, we could have read all those works of evilness that we all know is in our flesh. Let those things be dead. They that are Christ, are you his tonight? Then it says you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That you can already say right then, I see it coming. I don't want nothing to do with it, Lord. Crucify it from me. I'm not afraid to say, Lord, I've been wrong. But Lord, I need it crucified. I don't need the old man coming back. It ain't going to do me no good. And I'm going to read this to you real quick. Just listen. It's 1 Corinthians 15:31. It says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. And that's what I'm bringing here tonight. I don't mean to go long, but I just want to make sure this thought gets across before we go to communion. I die daily. Why does he say, I protest of your rejoicing? Because there is always that Christian that acts like being a Christian is just always happy-go-lucky. That ain't what it's all about. He says, why are you guys all, and you tell, who was he talking to? He's talking to the Corinthians. How come you guys ain't going through no trials? How come you're not resisting the devil? Or maybe it's because you don't let him in. You're just walking with every word your flesh has got to say. How many members that? They had the Holy Ghost. That's true. And they were sons of God. That's right. But they definitely weren't looking like it. And they were definitely reaping what they were sowing. And they were, like we said, the one man was living with his own mother-in-law or stepmom, I guess is what it would be. And then you had, they were getting drunk here tonight. They weren't just filling one glass and taking a sip. They all had one. Two, three of them. They didn't have one piece of bread to remember it. They ate till they were gluttonous. Brother, sister, let's be careful that we remember the sincerity. And look, I'm sure it wasn't one night it was that way. It took a little bit here for you because they just let their flesh run wild. But there's something about a Christian. You don't just rejoice in that. Let me say it like this. You're not always happy as a Christian, but you always have joy.
Amen.
And it's different. It's real. It acknowledges that sometimes life's hard. Sometimes you go through things you don't understand. But there's a solidness to it that says, it's all right. The Lord's in control. I'm going on. I can still keep a smile on my face. I can still have that real perseverance that everything is all right because my God still is in control. And it brings a glow of joy so much more than, oh, man, aren't you glad? Oh, it's just so good being Christian. Let's get up here and just jump around like a bunch of monkeys and act like idiots. Come on now, that's what some people think Christianity is. And you all know Brother Andrew likes to praise the Lord. I believe in that. I believe in getting a little bit. I think sometimes people think being in your flesh is running around all the time. That can be, but it's just as much to be in your flesh. Just sit there with your hands in your pockets and say, well, I can't wait for this to get over. That's your flesh too. You know, and we can go down that whole line, but I'm not trying to preach. I read this last service, but I want to read it again. Things that are to be 65. It showed he come up some other way. Remember the man that came into the supper that didn't have the wedding garment on? He came up some other way, come in a window or come in a back way, but not through the door. Not through the door. The way that Jesus came. It's through. Let me say this. The way that Jesus came through self-sacrifice. Giving your all to God and walking to Calvary and be crucified with him. And rise again to wear his garment of sacrifice and death to the things of the world. Amen. Said, how can I be crucified with Christ? Just as you believe that Jesus forsook his own power, his own authority, his own rights, and walked up Calvary's hill and gave his life freely. The same sincerity, the same devotion, the same self-sacrifice. What was he guilty of? Nothing. So it was all pure self-sacrifice. As he went that way, how do you do the same thing? When the things of the world try to come and make a love in you, you do the same thing, you lay it aside.
Amen.
Let me say it even like this, Christians, because I do believe that people want to argue back and forth about this, but if you are completely saved by what Jesus did, it is nothing you and I have ever done or not done that did that at all. So yes, if Jesus has saved you, it don't matter what you do from now on to the end, you're going to be saved. He did it. He can't take it back. But let's keep it where the truth of it is, that if that life comes in you, don't tell me you just live in the flesh and it don't bother you. that you can just live the same old life, because though your salvation isn't based on acts, you could do whatever you want. There's that life that's in you that was in Christ that self-sacrifices to stay with the will of God, even though you know you could get away with it, or however you want to say it, in the eternal sense. Is that all right tonight? Yeah, you will reap in this life. That's true. And brother, sister, I'm going to tell you right now, you can be a son of God, and I believe that God knew you from the beginning, and you're going to be there on that day. But if you decide to make bad decisions, don't whine to God about it, because you're going to deal with it. That's right. The prodigal son was a son the whole time, was going to have a great time when he got back. But when he wasn't on his way back, he was in the slime pits with the pigs. All right. There isn't this, well, I can do whatever I want. I'm a son of God. Like I said, too much happy-go-lucky. No, there's that self-sacrifice. I could do that, but for the glory of God, I'm not. I could be doing that, but, you know, people do that. They're doing it tonight. I'm sure there's plenty that wanted to be here, or let me say that, knows deep down in here they ought to be at church. But they said, you know, it don't matter. I'm still saved. Well, yeah, maybe, but that don't. You ain't blessed now. You ain't going to be close to the Lord. You ain't going to get the benefits God has for you tonight. I believe this communion cup heal every sickness that's in here tonight. I do that. That's why I never worried about it. I'm going to tell you a testimony. It's James Cooper, actually. Yeah, the one that's from in prison right now. But way back, I mean, this is a long time ago, probably 20 years almost, maybe 15. But we were having communion. I can still see it today. I was standing somewhere around here, I believe. And we did kind of the same thing then at the church I was going to. And man, I can't remember now. But I know he was right before me. Yeah, that's right. And he had something white stuff in his mouth. All right. And I didn't know nothing about it, but he's like, hey, brother. And he like kind of leans into me, you know, I was like, yeah, what, brother? You know, I'm trying to like focus on communion thing. He's like, I got this thing in my mouth and I don't know if I should take communion. I said, brother, if we get sick from that cup, what are we believing? What kind of God we serving? I said, just stay. I'll be fine. I said, I'll go right after you. And we did. And guess what? Everybody was all right. It's just, where is your faith tonight? Daily. And that's the point, brother, sister. And I'll make sure I get that across to you. And we know you could say minute by minute, hour by hour, but you know, don't ever make it your own will. Let me say it like that. Paul did say, I die daily. So there is this thing of looking at the day you're about to live, like today. I appreciate all you coming to the house of the Lord, ready to do the things of God. And you had to sacrifice something to do that. But that's, don't worry about tomorrow yet. Well, hey, amen, brother. I got to preach tomorrow, so I got a little bit of foresight. But at the same time, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what God wants me to do right now. And you can do that every day. Every day, wake up with a daily crucifixion. I could do this. I could do that. But I know where that's going. I know it's not going to feel good in my spirit. I know it's going to lead me the wrong way. Crucify it. Daily crucifixion of those things. If you have one more scripture I'd like to read. It's Colossians 3, and I did really want you to read this one with me. And I'll bring us to the end. Colossians 3. I tried to paraphrase this, but we're just going to have to read this whole section here. Verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Who, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Who has to do this? You do. God has given us the power. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. We got to take that sword of the word and kill this thing. Mortify it. That's what that word means. Which we can go to fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and evil conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Yes, sir. And this one more scripture, I'm just going to read it to you. It's Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. And when do I need to do that? Oh, that one time I came to the altar. Brother, there is a day, and I do believe in an experience. Don't just get ahead of conversion, all right? There's got to be an experience between you and God that changes you. And it's got to be something supernatural that, and there's no way to explain it. There's no rules behind it. And that's why Jesus even told us. He says, you see the wind come and you see it go. He says, that's just how everybody's born of the Spirit. It just comes through there. And it just puts a whirlwind in your life. And whatever you are, you're not. You're just something else now. And it begins to grow from that point. So like, well, I need to do this, and feel this and experience this. Well, maybe not. But there has to be that point where things change. And it has to be supernatural. That's what I'm saying. It can't be a resolution. It has to be a crucifixion. That you have died. But yet you're not dead. So what happened? You had to be raised again. And what were you born by? The Word, the same as Jesus was. And once that happens, brother, God has given us His Spirit. It gives us power. We can take the deeds of the body. We can mortify them. We can put them to death. And how often do we need to look at that? Every day. Every day, a new battle. Every day, I don't want to say pretend, but treat it. Treat every day like this is your only day of being a Christian. Yep. You're going to let sin rule that one day? That's why that idea of He could be here at any time has to be prevalent in our lives. Not a yearly thing, annual thing, special meeting time. I'll tell you, Christians a lot of times will do it just from church. Well, I got 2 days till church. It's all right to goof off a little bit. And then the closer it gets to church, you're like, you know what? I probably should spiritual it up a little bit here. Did we do that today? Y'all looked at me pretty good there for a little bit. But I pray that's what we all are here. Well, this is a symbol of, we'll say it like that, that He gave His life, that I, as I opened up my reasonable service to Him, reasonable is to say, Lord, every day I can lay this down. You did so much for me. How much more little is it for me to lay down a little entertainment over here, or a little bit of pride over here, a little bit of my feelings over here, and just say, Lord, You went through all that. Thank You. Amen. For Your glory, I'll live for You. Amen. Let's stand together. Dad, I want to sing He Is Here. That's Justin, you don't need to. We all know that chorus. Just He Is Here. How many really believes that? Well, let's treat this like He's standing right here serving us communion here tonight. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. Oh, He is here, we'll bless His name again. He is here. Just listen closely. Hear Him calling out Your name. He is here. You can touch Him. He is here. We believe it, Lord. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. Oh, He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. For He is here. Just listen closely. Hear Him calling out Your name. He is here.